Have you ever listened to a podcast and the interview or host was meh, boring, awkward, too verbose, or stiff? Not a great listening experience. So up your game and boost your communication skills by hearing my next guest, Paul Fink, the Maverick Millionaire, as he shares tips on how to create a podcast that your audience will want to hear over and over again. We even did a little game show like exercise. It was so much fun. Take a listen. So, hey, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey guys, I am bringing some great energy to the show today. I have Paul Fink, the Maverick Millionaire. He's one of the foremost authorities in business and personal development, and he's worked with some best known speakers in the world to take their events to the next level. I've been on Paul's show as well, and he was so much fun to chat with, super easygoing. And so welcome to the show, Paul.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. We're here to inspire and to communicate. So let's do that. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Yes, we had so much fun last time.
Yeah. Awesome. So we're going to dive in today, folks, in regards to like effective communication. I mean, Paul, with podcasting, the interview is a given, but I mean, there's emailing, there's connecting on social, there's like the green room, there are, you know, pitch emails. There's so many different elements to communication when you are podcasting. And if you can't dial that in properly, it can make or break you.
Hear, hear. Yeah, there's so many levels to it, which is why having someone by their side, having someone who can guide them through all this is so important. Because it covers, one of the components of podcasting is it covers all aspects of running a business, of creating your leads, creating quality people that you're talking to. It brings in your marketing components. All these things make a real difference in where you end up in your podcast community and how well the show does and how effective it is for what you're looking to accomplish.
Absolutely. So why don't we start with the obvious? And that is, if you are hosting a podcast, you know, you're obviously communicating with the guests in many ways, but during that interview, I mean, I've heard some interviews and it's just super confusing for the listener. You know, people are being cut off or there's like monologues, or I've been a guest on shows where I'm like, why am I even here? It's just been a hot mess. and you need to have skills. So start us off and kind of dive in at what makes an effective interviewer or host.
One of the key components is the flow of the conversation. You know, if you went and kind of took a camera into your living room when you're hanging out with your friends, what's the pace of that conversation? Is it one person talking for 20 minutes and no one else saying a word? Or is it a give, take, back and forth, which appears so much more natural and is comfortable, and it's how we normally communicate? And so bringing that right into your podcast and being aware of that, make sure that you're not interrupting, but you're creating pauses as the host that keeps the pace going, that doesn't have them go down a rabbit hole all at once, but actually keeps a pace of, oh, got that. How about this point? Oh, I really love that point. And moving the conversation along.
I love that. And to me, it's like it needs to feel natural. I don't want to be in an interview where I'm just, here's the first question, answer it. Here's the second question. Like, it just feels so stale.
Right. And people are getting immune to that in their podcasting. So how do you make it more natural? You've got to learn to listen and to listen for the cues when the host stops or when your guest stops and when they pause, and so that you can interject just like you did. Oh, I love that point. I really get what you're talking about. And you move it along. The challenge is that most people don't listen. I've been a communicator now. I started off in straight commission sales 36 years ago. I can't believe it. And over the time and being an entrepreneur and out there and communicating, learning different skill sets, one of the things that I recognized, I also have a background in social psychology and clinical psychology, so, and neuro-linguistic programming and hypnotherapy, which creates all, it's all about the internal communication and communicating with other people. One of the biggest challenges is when you're communicating with someone, most people in the world, they start formulating what they're going to say next long before the person ends. We all know we do that.
So true.
And in doing so, we are not listening to the other person. We're either listening closely with our ears or we're internal in our mind forming our next question or our next statement.
Totally agree. Now, how do you turn that off? Because it is a hard thing to do, and sometimes you have to be conscious about it.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely a skill set. It's like going to the gym. You've got to work the muscle, or the muscle will atrophy and it won't be effective when you need it.
Yeah.
So you've got to work the muscle. And what that looks like, I do some exercises with some of my clients. One of them is this exercise that I absolutely love that stumps so many people. And it's called Q&Q, question to question. And what that looks like, all right, you want to play along?
Oh, let's go for it.
Oh, we could have some fun. All right. So Q&Q, question to question, and it's a game that you play, two people play it. And the game goes like this. I'll start off with a question. You will then answer with a question. I will then answer with a question. You will then answer with a question, and we'll go back and forth. And never will we give an answer. It'll be a question. So as soon as a answer is given, the other person will go, ah. As soon as there's a long extended pause, the other person will go, ah, and continue the conversation. Now, when you first do this, it's ask anything.
Yeah.
Just ask a question. However, when you get good at it, you can actually ask relevant questions based on what they just said.
Right.
So, want to play?
Let's go for it.
Let's go for it.
Game show time.
So, how are you today?
How are you doing too?
I am. And
it's
I
so
just
hard.
Messed up my own game. And this is an example of what happens. So one of the things that registers, whenever you say, how are you today? We have an automated response system. And that's how it plays out. And internally, our automated response system kicks in and it takes us completely, completely off game.
Yeah.
And we go internal instead of external. Mm. So let's do this one more time.
Okay.
How are you today?
How's the weather over there?
Have you had bad weather?
Have you seen good weather?
Has everyone?
Have you seen the beautiful sun today?
Is good sunny weather powerful, important to you?
Is summertime hot or what?
Do you really like summertime?
Do you like winter?
Is winter better than summer?
Is fall better than spring, though?
Do you do different activities in the winter versus the summer?
Do you enjoy time with your family more in the summertime than in the winter?
If I had time with my family, that would be great, whether it's summer. Nope, I answered the question. Oh. Can you believe it? And this is what I mean by a muscle. And yeah. I will tell you, I haven't played this game in a while. And it's so funny because I've done it for so many years. Asking questions. And what I find is on our podcast, I get focused in on what they're saying and pay attention to what questions are the next follow-up. And the real key is the listening part of it. And so when you do this, and one of the things that you'll find as you do cue the cue over and over and over again is that you get better and better at it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we were really talking about something that was imperative, let's talk about podcasting. Do you love podcasting?
I absolutely love podcasting, and I assume you do as well.
Do you find that podcasting is difficult?
Do you find it has a lot of nuances and moving pieces?
If there were a lot of moving pieces, is it important to get them all connected?
Do you have systems set into place for creating a podcast?
What kind of systems would be best?
Do you have someone that runs that process for you?
How many people would you advise I have? Can I do it with one person, or does it require many?
Do you have written SOPs that will help you with the processes?
Is it important when you're hiring someone to have an SOP so that you can hire the right person?
I'm stumped now. It really takes some thought, doesn't it?
And for all the people that are listening in, that last example was much more attuned than the two or three that we did prior to that.
Yes, more detail.
And as we go and we're talking about, and what we found is in the research is that when you're talking about something that was more relevant to what was the topic at hand, mm-hmm. when you were actually talking about something that was important, this process was even easier than just random thoughts like, hey, how's the weather? What's going on? How's nice?
That's true.
And so when you get clarity with what you want to talk about, what the direction is of the conversation, and where you want to go with it, you will have much easier time doing that Q&Q. All of these are the key components of listening in. You want to be a really good podcaster. You want to have really quality interviews. There's a few things that double down on this. One is do your research on the person that you're talking to.
Absolutely.
Understand where you want to bring the conversation so that it doesn't end up with this, as you said before, this random, like, I don't know where we're going with this conversation or what it's got to do with me. So have a direction for the conversation, research, have a direction, and then that listening skill of really dialing in. What is it that you want them to be communicating with you? And how can you play off of the last statements and last comments?
Agreed. And I feel like, too, it's important to have an interest in the topic, because if you're interested, there are little nuances that you naturally want to know. If I'm interviewing, I don't know, a Facebook ad expert and I know nothing about Facebook ads, I want to pick their brain. There's things I want to know.
So the rest of that story is you've got to do your research. You've got to know who you're talking to.
Yeah.
So that you know what their topic of expertise is. I've been on interviews where the person didn't do any research on me. They made an assumption about what my expertise was and then started diving deep into that topic. And I finally had to go, that's not really my thing, if you will. That's not where I direct my clients. It's not my topic of choice. And they did no research in who I was or what I was about.
Yeah.
And so they started directing it off in left field. So really important, do your research so that you're interested. And then like you were talking about, you want to be interested in the topic, write down questions.
Yeah.
Things that my grandfather taught me early on is there's every topic in the world is interesting.
Oh.
Once you know enough about it.
Oh, that's a good point.
And so do a little bit of research so that you have enough knowledge base to ask questions. And then write down the questions. You were new and you wanted to become an expert on this industry or this field.
Right.
What were the questions that you would want to know? Because chances are those are the questions that your audience wants to know as well.
That is so true. Yeah, absolutely. If I'm thinking it, then other people are probably thinking it. Now, is it okay to ask for questions from the guest up front? Or like if I had a list of questions, let's say, you know, give it to you ahead of time to say, hey, does this work for you?
I do. And for my podcast, I go through that process where I ask for the questions. And here's here's the challenge with asking those questions.
Yeah.
From the guest is that when you do, they're all set with those specific questions. And most of the time, those questions don't sound natural. Mm. They don't just flow.
Right.
Unless you have an expert communicator on the other side giving you those questions, they made them up as to what would be a easy point for them to direct them to their product and their service, and yet it really didn't flow. And so you've got to be cognizant of reframing the question so that it's an easy question that'll just roll off your tongue. So being able to reframe it so that it flows with the conversation rather than exactly in the format that they give it to you. And I usually warn my guests, if they gave me specific questions, I say, I will ask these or something similar to these during our conversation. Would that be okay? And they usually go, oh, sure. And then I weave it in and not necessarily getting to all of them.
Yeah.
Definitely reframing them, rewriting them, making it flow into the conversation. And so, yes, for a lead, but no, don't follow it specifically.
That's a great tip. And I think for me as a host, it's nice to have that as a guideline, but I don't use it as my script.
Right.
And
it's so important.
And it gets my juices flowing, right? It's like, okay, if I can ask this question, but what about this part? And what about that part? And I can kind of think of like how the conversation will go.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you're always looking for guests that can flow with that kind of conversation. Mm-hmm. Look, you're looking for guests that can actually have a natural conversation with you. And those are the shows that are going to be the best.
Yeah.
The ones that have just started, that don't know how to communicate, that really are stumbling as to where to bring the conversation or what to say, they're the ones that the show ends up being painful to listen to. And so always looking for somebody that can talk a little bit, that can say some things and think on their feet.
Yeah. And thinking on your feet is a skill. It's like, I always say, like, my daughter could easily be a lawyer. She is just like, she has her answers down pat. She's got excuses galore.
Hold on. How old is she?
Wait. She's 14 now, but she's been like four.
Yeah. From someone that's got six children, three sets of twins. Yes. Been through the test of time with all of them, man. They learn the best of your skills and then bring it back right to your doorstep. Yeah.
I know. But so how can we kind of like improve that skill? So if you feel as a host, and I've had these moments where I'm like, I don't really know what I'm going to ask next, or you just, I don't know, have brain fog. How do you recover from that? And how, like, are there any tips to quickly move on?
One is pre-planning.
Yeah.
Absolutely pre-planning. So the first step is to pre-plan the questions that you're going to ask, the extended questions you're going to ask. I've been a speaker now for about 16 years, been podcasting for several.
Yeah.
I think it's been the last 4 years in podcasting. Our show is one of the 10% in the world right now, which, God bless, it's been an amazing journey. With all of that, one of the things that is important is the pre-planning. I plan 10, 20, 30, 40, 50% more material than I'm going to cover whenever I'm on stage, whenever I'm going into a podcast. Mm-hmm. No matter what, I've got a ton of extra material. And over the years, and with my personal team, I've always commented, oh my gosh, we're ahead of schedule, especially if it's a multi-day training or something like that. They're like, really? Really? You've got so much material to cover. You think you need to fill space?
Yeah.
And because I do a lot of pre-planning for all of my presentations. And that's really important in your podcast so that you never get stuck. You look down in your notes, you move on, and you can switch gears and have, in addition to pre-planning and writing down extra questions and material, always have transition material, transition comments, clauses, phrases. Hmm. So,
what do you mean by that?
You know, I know we've been talking about this, only I want to dive into one other topic that I know is real important. That phrase you can use in every podcast.
Yeah.
And whenever you get stuck. And so have go-to phrases that are transition phrases that'll guide you into something completely different that then you go to your pre-planning notes to switch gears, especially when things are stuck or when things aren't going that great. And we do this on stage all the time. And here's really key, is that people that are listening are not listening 100%. People that are listening are only listening with about 10% of their brain.
Right.
In any conversation, you walk away with about 10% of the information that's being served up for you.
Oh, interesting.
So with that being said, you can actually, and wouldn't it be great if we just dove into and have other conversation that could have just created something great? And it doesn't matter whether that sentence was congruent or not. People will dive in as long as you start talking about something relevant in a moment.
That
is
true.
And you interrupt yourself mid-sentence and start a whole new topic when you know things are dragging, when you know things aren't working. I do this all the time in live events as well. I see the audience kind of shifting and not working with me. I'll shift gears and start talking about something brand new in a split second, halfway through a sentence even, or even a story, or just, hey, that story wasn't relevant. Just switch to something else. Next.
And you never think to do that, really. Like, that is such a good tip of having those transition statements to take that control back, to be able to speak about something that's relevant, but also that's showcasing your own expertise. Do you have any other examples of transitions? Because that one was gold.
Being able to, you know, with anything that's really important, I mean, for instance, my family is one of the most important things for me. And so my wife that I've been with for 36 years, my 6 children, and really important to create that magic. Do you have something that's the most important thing for you in your world?
Camping.
See, and that was a transition phrase. Right. I went into, and it didn't matter what we were talking about before. People love that, oh, that's your focus. So then I highlighted me and then transition. Well, what about you? What's your major focus? And as long as the transition, the story about you, you always want to focus in on the guest and make sure it's about them. Only short little snippets of yourself to feed in, to use as transitional stories, can make all the difference in the world. So here's my focus. What's yours? Here's what I love. What's the thing that you really love? Mm-hmm. Here's how I approach my business. What's going on with your business? And having those comparison components that act as transition moments in the conversation.
That's perfect. That's a great tool to have in your arsenal when you're a guest or a host.
Huge.
Now, when you are a host and you have a guest that doesn't even give you a moment to like interject and they're giving you like a monologue of sorts, how can you rein that in without being rude?
There are a couple of different techniques. One is sometimes just physical cues when we're doing, so a lot of podcasts now, they both do audio as well as visual. And so we're recording this with a video that'll be put on different places as the audio. Well, a physical cue could work. And some people are aware of that. And so you can, you know, and just give some physical moments where you point to them or you raise your eyebrows or you begin to open up your mouth and then they will get it and they'll stop.
True.
The other thing that you can do is like raise your voice in an excited way and get really like hyper about, oh, that's great. And you just interrupt their cycle and then rephrase what they just said that you can highlight as great and then go into your transition topic, transition phrase.
Right.
So, oh my gosh, that was amazing. Everybody out there, you've heard what we're talking about here and just great ways to communicate. You've got to be taking really good notes. Let me ask you something and go into your transition clause.
Perfect. I love that.
And so in that way, you keep the pace,
yep.
you keep the excitement level,
right?
And you switch gears on the conversation all within 30 seconds.
Is there a good or a wrong way to wrap up a podcast?
Is there a wrong way? The wrong way is, well, I guess we're done.
what?
And how many times have you heard that one? And I actually have been in a podcast where that's kind of like, well, I guess we've covered everything. Thank you, everyone. And you kind of go like, oh, was it really
man.
That bad? Was it that bad? Yeah. So how do you wrap it up effectively is that you ask them, and I usually will ask components like, you know, with all that we've covered, are there things that have just been unsaid? We've got tons of people listening here from all around the world that are in podcasting. What would be the key component that you'd like to share with them? That would be the key thing that you'd like them to take away. Or, you know, I know there's some quality things that you have said. I know there are people out there that want to pick your brain even more. How can they find you?
Yeah.
So those transitions are really great to wrap up with those people. Know that you're rounding to the end of the conversation. So it becomes easy.
That's so true. That's perfect. And you mentioned that you speak on stage a lot and run yes. events for your clients and so forth. Are the skills do you find similar with speaking on stage and podcasting, or do you find that there are different nuances?
Definitely different nuances. When you're on stage, you get more physical cues from the people that you're working with. And it's the difference between camera and Zoom calls or podcasts or any of our video communication and live events. Live events, you still get a energy flow that's different.
Absolutely.
That you can feed off of. When you're doing podcasts, when you're doing any sort of video engagement or communication through digital formats, you've got to bring more energy and awareness. You've got to be a little bit sharper with how you're proceeding. It's one of the reasons why I don't sit down during my interviews and my podcasts. I've got my whole stage to be standing. And because I find I bring more energy when I'm standing than when I'm sitting. And that's true for most people. And so I love that excess energy and the ability to move
around.
The
body movement.
Right. And that plays into how I present. You want a more sedate, you want a more calm presentation. Definitely sitting down works really well. For me, that energy flow makes a difference. So I stand for all my presentation. I've got my whole setup designed in that way. And so you've got to know yourself in that.
True. I know I've seen so many podcasters and people in meetings, and they've got stand-up desks and they're, you know, you see more of them and they are more animated. I've tried it. I feel so awkward. And I've been on stage and spoken on stage and I'm fine that way. But for whatever reason, standing in front of a camera, I don't feel natural. I'm too, I don't know, I'm in my head or something. I don't know.
Yeah. And it's like we were talking about with listening skills, like with any of these are definitely skill sets. I was not great. I was great on camera. My whole experience level was doing live engagement. So it was straight commission sales. I was in the medical field, the dental field. All of my experiences were live engagement. So then when I became a speaker, it was a natural thing to be live with people from stage and engage in that way. The camera was a whole different world for me. And I will tell you, I sharpened my axe tremendously when COVID hit. So for the last 4 years, I've been a speaker now for 16 years. I've had podcasts for years, only it wasn't my best. It wasn't where I was like bringing it. And it took, when we went into COVID, everything went digital.
Right.
And with that, it was the repetition of experience that sharpened my skill sets. And that's really key for anybody that wants to, that is in podcasting, that wants to be doing any of these components, whether it's live or virtual, whether it's digital on podcast or live stage. You've got to do it often, back to back, repetition, to get comfortable and to really increase your abilities. Sharpen your axe. You want to get abs. You don't go to the gym once a month.
True enough.
Every day, right? And yet, oh, well, I'm going to be great on stage, for instance, and I have a speaking gig once a month or once a quarter. And they're like, I don't know why I'm not getting any better. You need to do it more often. You need that back-to-back repetition. For podcasters, man, go live, start streaming, start doing videos every day, and watch your skill sets develop exponentially. And it's one of the key components. Most people wait till they're perfect, wait till everything's set before they start launching it, before they put it out there. Dare to just put it out there.
Yeah.
Dare to just share your information, share your knowledge, share the worst videos. And then when you look back, you cringe at your first videos.
Oh, don't you, though?
However, the only way to create success is to have those first videos that you cringe at. It's the only way. I know no other journey. Right. We all have that have created success. The challenge is there's so many others that are hesitating from really stepping into their true power because they want it perfect, and it never will be. Never will be.
And the beauty is that they are skill sets. And like you said, the transitions, the listening, the different exercises that you can do to improve your skills and listen back and tweak and hone that. So how can people find more about you and get your expertise and your help so that they can hone their skills and grow their podcast and business?
I am in multiple different worlds, if you will.
Yeah.
So definitely a podcaster. I also have a TV show. I also have a publishing house. I also speak and train and coach entrepreneurs on this multimedia, multi-engagement layer and level of their business on how to do it all and create that kind of magic in their world. And so you want to 10X what you're doing, come and talk to me. And I've got a couple tools for you. One is I've got a great, great, great download for you that is about time management. And it's a multimedia ebook that I put together that, because one of the most important things for entrepreneurs is that they never have enough time.
No.
They never know how to prioritize and put it all together. And they're always being pulled either by their personal life or their professional life, never really creating this balance, if you will. So the book goes into all that and more. So wherever you're at in your entrepreneurial world, your journey, if you will, this book will be great for you.
Perfect. We all need that help.
Yes. The rest of it is that you want to talk to me personally. You want to have a one-on-one. It's what I do to give back on a regular basis. This isn't a sales pitch. This is literally with me. It's not with somebody else. I've had people come on going, oh my gosh, I didn't know it'd be with you. I was like, I told you it was with me. So one-on-one consultation, going through what's actually going on in your business and how to, some of the next steps in making it better and creating that magic, if you will, either on a financial level or on a time management level, on a lifestyle level. Mm-hmm. And so we talk about all components. So go to maverickoffer.com. I am the Maverick Millionaire, Paul Fink. So go to maverickoffer.com. And when you go there, you'll see the download and the ability to get right into my calendar to have a one-on-one.
Perfect. And having gotten to know you, Paul, over the, our past number of meetings and podcast interviews, I can attest that you are absolutely a genuine person. You walk the walk, you talk the talk, you know your stuff. There's absolutely no reason why people should not go talk to you. You obviously have created a ton of success for yourself, and you've just got a great presence.
Well, thank you so much. And we've learned and communicated enough to know that the feeling's mutual. and just amazing things that are going on here. And truly, come and talk to me. It is my gift to you. Take advantage of it. One of the biggest things that we do as entrepreneurs is we avoid asking for help. We avoid reaching out and grabbing hold of the resources that are right in front of us.
Yeah.
I know I did that for years.
Ditto.
And it sacrificed my success for a long time.
Absolutely.
Reach out.
Yes.
We're here for you.
Yeah.
Maverickoffer.com. He'll
totally help you out.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. And I just totally enjoyed getting to know you over the past month. And can't wait to share your expertise with the world.
This is only the beginning.
Yeah, there you go.
Take care, everyone. Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, Lindsay.
Bye.
And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you want to leverage your podcast for higher ROI, then get my free podcast leverage system training at leverageyourpodcast.com/free.